tardes.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to another press conference of the 68th edition of the San Sebastian Film Festival. Today, we've got part of the team of Supernova, who competes in the official selection. We have the director, Harry McQueen, and producers, Tristan Golliger and Emily Morgan. A big round of applause for the three of them to start off with. I hope you can hear me. Now, we'll open the floor to the journalists, but to break the ice, I would like to commence and ask... Mr. McQueen, can you hear me? Lovely, okay. I have an initial question. This is to break the ice, albeit the producers can also participate if they deem pertinent. But having seen the film, I've encountered a piece of work which, from my point of view, is completely mature, that it sees it start. It comes from the experience of a couple or a couple that's been together for 30 years and also a couple that's undergoing very specific circumstances due to second onset dementia, which is quite realistic in that sense. So therefore, my question is, how do you get to that being someone as young as you? What creative process do you go through to drive you down that lane and to end up making a film like this?
Well, this film comes from a lot of personal experiences, but also a deep and long process of research. So I spent years learning about dementia broadly and specifically about young onset dementia, and spent a lot of time in that process with people who are living with dementia in all its facets. And it was, I think, you know, one of the most profoundly moving experiences I've ever had. And the film comes from that, really. It comes from quite a long and intense period of research and a lot of time spent with people. So thank you. Yeah, I think it is a mature film, I guess, about love at a certain time of life. And I think there's not a huge amount of films made about that that particular subject matter in that time of life. You know, romantic love, in your 50s and 60s is something that's not often, I don't think, touched on too much in cinema. So it was important to try and focus on the originality of that.
Hi, it's a question from Brazil, Rodrigo. I think it was impossible for me yesterday watching your touching movie without thinking about David Lean and Brief Encounter. Although it's not a movie about forbidden loves, impossible loves, but I think there is a huge connection between Supernova and a tradition of British love stories. I would like to know, how do you consciously made this dialogue with this tradition? Because it's so strong, especially David Lean.
Thank you for the question. I think it's in a way it's quite unconscious. I mean, I'm aware, of course, of that tradition and the films, you know, within that. But I think for me, the attempt is always to try and make something that's its own thing, that's as original as possible. So you kind of take all of that, the history of that kind of filmmaking, and road movies too is another genre that obviously the film is involved with, and you sort of you try and forget it, really, I think, and just make the thing you're making and the little world you're creating its own thing. I think that's really important if you're creating a story from nothing, which, you know, you're doing largely when you're writing your own work, just focusing on the fact that it can exist as its own thing, I think, is really important. But I totally take your point, and that they're good films to have as touch points.
Yeah.
Hi, hello.
Hello.
Congratulations. And I would like to know, the ending is quite open. It's open to interpretation, really. We don't really know what's going to happen there. So do you know what's going to happen, or you never even thought about it?
That's a very good question. I don't think I've ever considered what happens after the film, really. And I mean that honestly, because I don't think it's that relevant, and it wasn't ever particularly relevant to me writing it. I think what I wanted to do with the film, and maybe in more general terms what I'm interested in films often, is that they I sort of feel like they're a gift to an audience in a way. Like, what the gesture of the film in the wider context is, if you make it open and film open-ended and you don't resolve it and tie up all of the loose ends, then I think you give the audience, as individuals, an opportunity to go away and take that story with them, like a present in a way. So I think that's, I focus on that a lot, because I think that's a beautiful concept if you can do it well. The tricky thing is getting the balance between telling and showing enough, but not too much. So I'd be interested to see what people think, what you think about the ending. But I think there's lots of potential endings for the story, but I don't know which one I prefer, put it that way.
Hello, congratulations on the film. And one of the things I like about the film is the relationship between Colin and Stanley. And I wanted to ask you, how was the process of creating this relationship with the actors and everything involved, with every one of the characters?
Thank you. Yeah, well, it probably goes without saying, like, an amazing experience to work with both of them. Like a really, really humbling process. I think the first thing to say is that they, as you know, they've known each other for years, so they're friends, and they love each other. They're best pals. So I think when you manage to get that on a project, I think it comes with. It can come with an enormously useful shorthand, emotional shorthand. They know each other so well that the chemistry there is already there. So actually, what you then end up having to work on is two things: the backstory of the characters, which we did a lot, and also just shaping the chemistry that they have together as humans into the particulars of the film itself. So actually, it's more about shaping and preserving the love that they have as people for each other, and streaming that through the characters. What is different between the love that Stanley and Colin as people have with each other to Tusker and Sam in the film? What's the particular nuance of that? That's what we worked on a lot. Again, trying to sort of take it actually as far away from them as people as possible, but preserving as much of the useful stuff about their relationship that we could. Did that answer your question? Okay.
Brazil again. Usually in romantic stories, lovers, they exchange words, they share words. In your movies, those two lovers, they share silence, and it's very beautiful. What do you believe to be the meaning of silence in a movie like that? How to shape silence when you have such a gigantic actors like Stanley Tucci and Colin Firth?
Well, silence equals truth in the film, to me, at least. That was always the intention. And I think characters that know each other in films do talk to each other a lot. But characters in real life, I'm not sure whether they talk to each other or not a lot. Maybe when you've been with someone for 20 years, maybe you don't have to. And I think we thought about that a lot, and I thought about that a lot when I was writing it. And also, you have to, I was bearing in mind that, the power of cinema, or one of the powers of cinema, is how it is, that naturally it's a visual medium. And I think actually, if you just allow the images to tell the story, that the spaces between the dialogue, or the silences at the end of a sentence, or the silences at the end of the word, of a word, the unsaid, is actually the much more interesting thing to focus on, really. But it's quite a difficult process to get that right, I think. I'm not suggesting we did, by the way. But, you know, I think that's it was a big focus right from the start, from script stage all the way through the process, the edit, everything. And then also, of course, when you're in post-production, like what does silence sound like in this film? You know, that's a really, like, nuanced thing, if you want it to be, because there's a lot of it in the film. And, you know, what silence is more poignant or more pregnant than another silence? So, yeah, it's a big part of the film, definitely, yeah.
Hi, my question is as follows. Well, this is a reflection, perhaps. It's a love story, but at the end of the day, you end up talking about life and all about, and also about death as part of life. Death is always flying around, fluttering around in the background. What was the balance, I'd like to know, of life, between life and death in the film? And finally, whether you've tried deliberately to discuss the right to a dignified death, or to choose how to die?
Well, I think hopefully the balance is quite equal, really. I think when inevitably when you're talking about love, you're talking about death and you're talking about life. I think the three things are, you know, very much the same thing in a way. And I guess what if the film is about anything in terms of the bigger themes or questions that it asks, it really is just a focus on the universality of the human experience in that sense. So, you know, love and death and living is, I guess, the other things that we are all experiencing all the time to some degree. So the focus on that was very important right from the start for us. But I think also it's worth saying probably that when you want to explore all of those massive themes, what you, I think, have to try and do is explore them in the microcosmic sense. I think it can't, if you sort of allow an audience to emotionally invest with a character or a couple of characters in this instance, those bigger, broader themes seem to sort of happen naturally. You don't have to really talk about them or labour the point. With your second point, I think I'm really interested in the conversation around end-of-life choices. I think it's a really important conversation, and I hope, certainly, I mean, I can't speak for other countries really, but certainly in the UK, I don't think we're in a position where we allow people to have honest, open, adult, mature conversations about end-of-life choices, because the law is in a certain way. So I think hopefully the film inspires people to have a conversation about how we look after each other when we are coming towards the end of our lives, because I think that's like an incredibly important thing, and possibly, you know, doubly important in the current climate. So yeah, I mean, we spoke a lot on set about that kind of thing, but it's for me to present a situation and a complex situation, and then let the audience, I think, work out what they would do or how they feel about that issue.
¿Tenemos alguna pregunta? I think we have another question.
Again, so there's a lot of nature in the film. Do you choose to include all those landscapes for any particular reason, or they were just pretty?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, what I enjoy focusing on as a filmmaker is the micro and the macro. So it felt important to use the landscape to not only enhance the drama of the situation. It's a very kind of dramatic, quite brutal landscape, so you've got that, you know, alongside it, sort of hopefully enhancing those bigger themes. But also you've got this small story, this little van traveling through this enormous landscape. So what you're looking at is the micro versus the macro. But also, we're also talking about someone that is nearing the end of their lives, and I think it felt natural to me for that person to be going through that landscape and as if they were seeing it for the last time. I think that seemed quite emotionally potent, possibly, but it also does look nice.
As regards to this issue, excuse me for interrupting, but I'm also interested in knowing what the opinion of the producers is, because it does address the micro and the macro, but despite being very intimate, the film, it has two very significant, well-known actors, with Dick Pope, for example, Dick Pope in the photography. So there's a very strong team behind you. So therefore, how have the producers accompanied Harry in the process? And what was your experience throughout the whole project, shall we say?
And I think in relation to the micro and the macro, I think in a way we were working with macro actors, but getting everybody into an incredibly micro place in a way. And the same with a huge DOP like Dick Pope. And everybody, I think everybody involved came to it for very personal reasons. And so they could be very intimate with it. And that was sort of the way we shot it. So yeah, Tristan, what would you add?
Yeah, Harry had a very clear idea of the film that he wanted to make, the vision that he had for it. And our job was then to find a way of being supportive of that and building a team around that that could enable that in its best possible form. And that was a mixture of somebody like Dick Pope, who was a kind of dream choice of Harry. Harry had worked with Dick previously. And then other people that we had relationships with from other films, like Sarah Finley, the production designer, whose work I think is just incredible on the film. And it's so incredible it's invisible, but the effect it has on you throughout the film is really palpable. It was about us making sure that we put a team in place that would enable Harry to make the film he wanted to make.
Hello again. My question this time is about the title of the film, which I think is very powerful, and I wanted to ask, how was the process of choosing this title, and what does it mean for the movie?
Well, I think it's always felt quite, in a way, quite literal and quite simple to me, the title. I think for me it represents Stanley's character, actually. Without going into the boring details of cosmology, but a supernova obviously is a star that dies, and at the end of its life it explodes, and is, when it does that, it's the brightest thing in an observable galaxy. So it felt like that really is what Tusker is. You know, he burns very brightly. He's a character that's very that lights up a room, to coin a phrase. And of course he's also dealing with his imminent-ish death. So I think it always actually just felt quite a simple comparison. But then of course it does offer a window into the much grander and much broader themes in the film. And, in Tusker, in Stanley's character, you have someone that is contemplating their own mortality, and therefore contemplating why they're here, that, what does it all mean, in the context of the much bigger landscape of things. So it felt like really that it's a title about him, really. Yeah.
Two more questions for you. The first one, I think it's clear in the end the kind of musician that Sam is. But I was wondering if you know what kind of writer Tusker is. What kind of novel does he publish? And the second question would be, you have a background as an actor as well. How do you think your experience as an actor, in your future as an actor, changes after working with such a genius couple as Firth and Tucci?
I think you can't help but work with people that brilliant and that generous, actually, and not learn a lot from the process. And I learned a lot from the entire process of making this film, but working and you know, learned a lot working with everyone that works on the film, but certainly with Colin and Stanley, I learned a lot about directing and a lot about acting too. But I think what was so wonderful and rewarding for me, like right from the start with those two guys, was how trusting they were of me. Like it really was a pretty beautiful collaboration. It was very honest and very open. And I think that's all you can ask really when you're working with an actor. And also when you're working with a director, I think, you know. I learned a lot from them. In terms of what writer Tusker would be, I think he'd be a bit. Do you know David Sedaris? I think he might be a bit like that. I think he would be very funny. Actually, yeah, he's a funny guy and like a deep thinker. So it would be something along the lines of David Sedaris. I can't now remember who else we referenced when we talked about it, but Sedaris was certainly one of those. So something like that, I think.
Also, another thing that what I liked about the film, as well as its press conference, is the fact that we've spent half an hour asking questions and no one's asked about why they're homosexual, why the couple is homosexual. And the truth means, which is, to a certain extent, it's an issue that we've overcome, that we've gone beyond that. All of a sudden, the issue is the subject matter is addressed quite normally and quite without any hassle. Is there a political position in the decision you made for the two characters to be homosexual and so on and so forth? Albeit he believes we've overcome that issue already.
I hope it is. I think making a film is a political act in and of itself, in many ways. But I think what we're talking about in the film is the universality of the human experience, and we're talking about love. I mean, that's it. So it didn't feel like it mattered at all what gender they were or what sexuality they were. But I am also aware, and was aware right from the start, that not making a film, making a film about a same-sex couple in which their sexuality did not impact in any way, the narrative wasn't mentioned, felt like an important and original thing to do. And it did feel like a political act. Yeah, I think it is. And I think the more we normalise things that are very normal in society, which I think the film has done, then I think, you know, all the better for it, really. And I think that in many ways is the job of art, to sometimes paint a picture of a society that you would want to live in, which might not always be the one that you're currently living in, but I think it is important to make that gesture sometimes. And I feel that we have done that with the film, and I'm proud of having made that gesture. Yeah.
Okay, tenemos tiempo para una. Okay, we have time for one final question.
So I understand that any director pretty much would want these two actors to work for them because they're amazing. But was there anything in particular that made you think about them for the roles?
In truth, we were at the start of the process. The casting director Shaheen Baig and I, and Tristan and Emily, talked about several people, and we really, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking. I think one of the early discoveries that we made was that I hadn't written it as an American originally, that character. And I think what we found that we wanted to do during the casting process, if we could, was find someone that wasn't English, that wasn't just two British men, basically. I think we hoped that if we had a foreigner in the film, it would imbue it with a certain energy or, you know, a different, you know, framework, a different pace or whatever. And I think it definitely did do that. So once we'd made that decision, we reached out to Stanley, and he, yeah, I'm, you know, happy to say he just loved the script really quickly, actually. And then we met and we got on really well, and it just happened very quickly from there. And he's obviously, as you know, sort of best friends with Colin. So he then suggested Colin because, again, we really wanted to try and find two actors that knew each other, that had a pre-existing relationship. Because, you know, if you're making work as intimate as this, I think you're doing yourself a favour if you can find two people that have a pre-existing bond. So, you know, when he mentioned Colin, obviously that was great news. and then it all happened quite quickly. But, I think it's funny because you don't... In the end, you just can't imagine anyone else doing it. I think if you get to that position, then I think you've made the right decision. But sometimes you can only know that at the end of the process, maybe. But like, I think I can't see anyone else playing those parts now. That it just feels so organic. I'm deeply humbled that they did it.
Vale, pues vamos a dejarlo aquí. Muchas gracias a todos.
Leave this here. Thank you very much to all of you. A big round of applause for the three of them. Thank you.